All right, we're sitting here with Dale Gehringer, the coordinator for California Normal. Dale, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here.
So much going on in California as you guys are ramping up for the November vote, the historic vote on marijuana legalization with the Regulate, Control, and Tax Cannabis Act of 2010. And most recently, we saw a news item here at the Stash that I thought you would be the perfect person to comment on. And that was the study showing that California was reaping anywhere from $50 to $100 million in sales taxes from medical marijuana sales. Can you give us a little more info on that and how that comports with what you found in your own research?
Well, actually, this is what we first determined 3 years ago. We did a study, did a survey of cannabis dispensaries in California, found they were doing on the order of $1 billion of business. And when you take the sales taxes on that, that comes out to $100 million a year. Went to the State Board of Equalization and testified on that. In fact, a couple of years ago, finally, I guess, the Board of Equalization, which collects the sales taxes, has come back and confirmed, yes, indeed, California does appear to be collecting somewhere on the order of $100 million in sales taxes from medical marijuana. And, of course, this is only a small fraction of the potential of the total market. We have another study about that out there saying that the state could get $1 billion in tax revenues, and that's also been confirmed by the Legislative Analyst's Office.
Right, right. And, of course, when the Board of Equalization and Betty Yee were making that pronouncement about the $1.4 billion of taxes, they were referring to Assemblyman Tom Ammiano's bill, which would be a statewide taxation measure, whereas this Tax Cannabis Act that's being voted on leaves the taxation up to local municipalities. How would that make a difference in the amount of tax revenue collected? Can you even really calculate what it might be?
No, it's hard. It's hard to say. You have no idea which localities would actually legalize marijuana. You know what their initial tax assessments would be. What revenues would come in? It would take numerous years, I think, to get up to the point of realizing the full $1.4 billion that is projected in the Ammiano bill. This is a more gradual partial legalization measure, I guess you'd call it, that's being proposed in November.
Sure. And, you know, one of the criticisms I've heard about that, you know, being that it's a local taxation measure, is that you might end up with a situation where the counties or the cities are underbidding each other on the taxes in order to get the business revenue that they would receive from people purchasing cannabis. Do you have any comments on that idea?
Well, I don't know that that's going to happen. Just looking at what's going on right now with medical marijuana, we have actually seen moves by local communities to add additional taxes above the state sales tax on medical marijuana. So the current rate seems to be raising taxes as opposed to lowering them. But it's really hard to say what will happen down the line.
Right. Shifting gears a little bit to talk about medical marijuana. Of course, a lot of the focus is in Los Angeles, as their city council has now declared and sent out letters to dispensary owners, over 400 of them, I believe, telling them to cease and desist operations, that they're not in compliance with their new guidelines and that they'll be shutting them down. In the current California economy, with all the jobs lost, especially in the Los Angeles area, what does California Normal have to say about that?
Well, as we attack this whole plan, this is ridiculous. There's talk about the $100 million in sales tax revenues. Well, probably $30 million, $40 million of that is coming from Los Angeles area. City attorney down there, Steve Cooley, who is running for attorney general, was a Republican this year, says that that's all illegal, that sales are illegal, and therefore there would be no sales taxes, so you're talking about denying $30 or $40 million in sales taxes to the state. I don't think he's going to make it stick. I think he's opened a real can of worms. There's lawsuits galore over the whole L.A. ordinance, and I think they won't be able to actually enforce it very effectively in the end, but it's going to be bloody for the and tied up in the courts for quite a while to come.
Oh, I can imagine that. Now, you mentioned Attorney Cooley, who's, like you said, running for office. And, of course, California's got a big governor's race, and people are seeing a lot of the ads on TV from the different candidates. But, of course, none of these ads, as far as I'm aware, address what these candidates have to say about legalization or the current state of medical marijuana in California. I understand NORML and California NORML are nonpartisan organizations and don't endorse candidates, but can you give our listeners any information on the marijuana stances of the current gubernatorial candidates?
Well, none of them, all of them oppose the initiative, which is sort of understandable. Candidates for state office always are skittish about things like that. The Democratic candidate, Jerry Brown, of course, comes with a long, long record behind him. He did support the state's marijuana decrim law. He signed it back in 1975 in his first go-around as governor, rather reluctantly. He has certainly not been in the forefront on this issue. There is actually an alternative candidate that's in the race, a minor candidate named, I think, Schmeier. he just came to my attention yesterday, who does support the legalization and the initiative, but he's not likely to win, I suppose. On the Republican side, there's opposition to that. There's not much hope from either of the candidates there. They're sort of vying for the right wing support. So, not unexpectedly, there's the governor's candidates are pretty much in lockstep in opposition to total legalization.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk about the initiative, the tax, the Regulate, Control, and Tax Cannabis Act of 2010. And as an outsider, you know, I've made a couple of visits here to California this year, and I was kind of surprised because, you know, I knew there would be opposition from law enforcement and the status quo, but I also found some growing opposition from some people who you'd think would be on our side, some of the people who were behind Prop 215, for example, and some of the, you know, regular cannabis consumers out there. And I was hoping you could address some of their concerns, one of which... Go ahead, Dale. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. There's a lot of concerns. For one thing, the growing community up in the Emerald Triangle, which has pretty much been economically dependent on black market marijuana prices for a generation and more now, is seriously worried that this will be the end of their game, basically. There's a lot of resentment in the growing community. Now, those people don't vote very much anyhow, so I don't think it's going to make much difference. There's also a lot of people out there who are happy with the current medical marijuana system. Of course, for example, the medical marijuana dispensaries. I think a lot of them are sort of satisfied with things as they are now and don't welcome something that might upset the apple cart. Mm-hmm. And then there's some people, there's some that really have thoughts, real doubts about whether California is quite ready to take this step yet. They feel that, we're still sort of trying to get medical marijuana straight. And once we really have a sound state system for that, maybe we'll be able to go ahead from there. So there's a spectrum of opinions there. It's true, Dennis Perone, who's the primary sponsor of Proposition 215, doesn't like the bills. He's a real libertarian. He hates the tax and regulate part of it. Dennis hates bureaucracy and paperwork and all the stuff that legal businesses have to go through. I think he just thinks the laws should disappear. And a lot of people feel that way, although when you look at it, it's not that likely to happen. It seems that everything that's legal in America is regulated these days, you know?
Yeah, and one of these regulations that some of my listeners were pointing out yesterday in the chat room had to do with minors, and specifically in this case, people between the ages of 18 and 21. There is some confusion. People see what's written in the initiative, and I think they see two portions relating to 18-year-olds supplying to minors under 14 or over 14. Those are already part of California law, but this initiative...
No. Okay, there's a new provision that actually California Normal objects to. We don't necessarily like everything in the initiative, but the initiative does allow for the legislature to implement further changes, and we hope they'll be addressed. These two provisions are that. The first provision, would actually make it a jailable offense for somebody over 21 to provide marijuana or like share a joint with somebody from the ages of 18 to 21. Under current California law, that sharing a joint with somebody 18 to 21 is a ticket. It's $100, non-jailable misdemeanor. This would raise the penalty for that. So, you know, if you were somebody 21 is taking out somebody who's 20 years old, sharing a joint would actually become a jailable offense. I don't expect that would be very tightly enforced, but it is in the initiative. The other thing, which I find more objectionable, actually, is it makes it illegal for anybody to smoke marijuana in the presence of minors, including parents. And as a parent, I really find this objectionable. This is a real intrusion, I think, in personal privacy. And it'll mean that you can't have any kids at any concerts where there's marijuana smoking, for example. Now, I should say, it does say smoking. So people could conceivably vaporize and get away with it or something else. But the fact is, it's perfectly legal for people to smoke cigarettes in the presence of children. And we know cigarettes are much more harmful for the secondhand smoke than marijuana is. So, you know, we find this objectionable. But it is, it would be a minor offense. It would be punishable like by a $100 ticket or something like that. And, you know, we think these defects are outweighed by the larger benefits of the initiative.
But to make this clear to the folks listening, the portions that are shown up on the Tax Cannabis website, sections A and B relating to 18-year-olds and older supplying to 18 people under 18, those are already part of California law. It's just the 18 to 21.
Those are already, you know, it's a serious felony to provide marijuana to people under 18, always has been and would continue to be so.
Okay. And this kind of leads me on to talking about the demographics of the electorate out there. We find that our greatest support among voters is between 18 and 34. And of course, the greatest numbers of people that consume cannabis are between 18 and 25. So do you feel this provision, that criminalizes this 18 to 21-year-old age group, is going to severely hurt the efforts to pass this initiative?
I don't think so. You know, I think the larger message that it's legal for adults to have pot, at least an ounce of pot in California, will pretty much swamp these minor things. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that as being a big objection, although, you know, it is hard getting... I mean, it doesn't really make it legal for anybody 18 to 21 to have pot at all.
Yeah.
So, you know... The college kids just have to, you know, wait.
I guess so.
hold their breath or something like that. I think they're smart enough to do that. Whether they're going to turn up in sufficient numbers is another question. Of course, this is an off-year election, a rather dull off-year election, I must say, otherwise. And turnout is always a problem amongst younger voters in off years.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, back to the criminalization of the 18 to 21-year-olds. How does this differ? Is it more severe than a similar laws regarding furnishing alcohol to people 18 to 21?
Oh, yeah. Actually, The laws regarding furnishing alcohol in California to minors are ridiculously lenient. When you look at it, it's not even a jailable offense.
Wow.
To provide alcohol to minors, but you lose your liquor license. Now, that's very serious if you are an alcohol retailer, of course, so nobody does it. But, in fact, you can't go to jail for it. You just lose your liquor license. It's a very minor offense. Californians don't realize that. If you ask the average person, you know, do you think the laws against marijuana use by kids are strict enough to say, no, we need stricter laws against kids using marijuana, even though it's already a felony to provide marijuana to kids.
So basically, if this initiative were to pass, a 21-year-old sharing a beer with a 20-year-old wouldn't go to jail, but sharing a joint would.
Yeah, but, I think they're going to be hard pressed to put many people in jail for marijuana once this passes. At least for minor personal offenses, I think the issue is going to be on the larger distribution system, as it has been in Prop 215. You know, and we legalized medical marijuana, and you know, there hasn't been a lot of problem for actual individual patients. Regardless, but it's been the larger suppliers who've gotten into trouble, and we're going to still have a major illegal supply problem, even if this initiative passes, because, you know, California's exporting tons of pot to the rest of the country, and that's going to continue to go on, and that's illegal under the initiative. So it's not a cure-all to the marijuana crime problem. We really need the rest of the country to come along with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll keep fighting for that. And Dale, before we wrap things up here, was there anything else you wanted to let our listeners know about California Normal and what's happening down there?
Not specific to California, but I would like to bring everybody's attention to the upcoming fight over the nomination of Michelle Lienhardt to head the DEA. Michelle Lienhardt has actually already been at the DEA sort of overseeing all of these raids and arrests we've had out here in California. And she's also been obstructing medical marijuana research and development. She's been sitting for 8 years on a rescheduling petition, which we here at Normal and a group of other medical marijuana advocates filed back in 2002. And we think that the delay and obstructionism of that rescheduling petition and of research in general really shows ill will and sort of a need for new blood at the agency. So people should go to the Normal website at normal.org or the California Normal website at canormal.org and send a note to the senators protesting, objecting to the appointment of Michelle Lienhardt to DEA.
I agree. Let's get everyone out there to normal.org and canormal.org. Add your name to the growing petition here to oppose Michelle Lienhardt. And Dale Gehringer is the coordinator of California Normal and a member of the Normal Board of Directors. Dale, thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you, Russ.